All right, turn with me to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As we look at the great chapter in the Bible on faith, we're looking at the faith of Abraham. And we are in verse 9 and 10. And we're going to look at those today. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The Bible tells us that one of the great characteristics of faith is that those of faith live like strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. What are the characteristics of being a pilgrim? And we find that Abram, God promised him the land of Canaan, but all his life, Abram did not even own one acre of land in the land of Palestine, except a burial site. And the very land that God told him that he would give him as a possession, he lived in tents, had no home, no palace, no fields of his own. He lived as a wanderer, as a pilgrim. And the Bible gives this as a great illustration of being a man of faith. And I thought we would take some time this morning thinking about what are the characteristics of a pilgrim. What are the characteristics of a pilgrim? Now, we looked at in our reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see some parallels there. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So we here see again that principle of being a pilgrim. First of all, when we think of being a pilgrim, a traveler, first of all, we think of the great issue that a pilgrim is one who does not belong. One who does not belong. Now, you know, if you've traveled, I remember one time someone said they took their group took a trip to Israel, and the guide one day asked them, all the people on the tour, where they wanted to eat, And very interestingly, the majority of the people wanted to eat at McDonald's. Now, maybe that's not what I would have chosen. And if you're thinking you're Israel, you probably should take advantage of, the wherever you're going. And, and eat the food of the country. But, you know, the people showed that they were Americans. And they wanted to imbibe in something that they were familiar with, right? Right? And because they were Americans, they wanted to go to McDonald's. They didn't fit quite yet into Israeli culture. But you know, when you get saved, all of a sudden there's a change takes place in your life. You don't belong to this world anymore. You don't belong. You aren't the same. You don't fit in. You're different. You have a new birth. You have a birth from heaven. You're not on the same course as all the rest of the world. You don't belong anymore. That's a pilgrim. You know, a pilgrim is going from one place to another, and in the process he's passing through all these different places. And he doesn't belong there. He longs to be home. And notice a pilgrim doesn't belong. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at that verse there. It's a great verse telling us one of the great principles of truly being saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were in past dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." The Bible tells us that before a person is saved, they walked the course that everybody walks. They walked according to the course of this world. They walk according to the course that was run by the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. You know, the devil is author of the world system. Did you know that? The world system. What is the world system? The world system is epitomized in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and through 17. And what does it say? "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is in not him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The world system is dominated by those principles. And you know, when a person gets saved, he gets off of that course. And all of a sudden, he doesn't fit in anymore. He doesn't fit in. I wonder, is it true of you? Do you fit into this world? And you are comfortable in this world. You like this world. You're attracted to this world. That's where you get your pleasure from, the things of this world. You love the entertainment of the world. I mean, that's what life is all about. I tell you what, the Bible says that a pilgrim, a child of God is a pilgrim, and they don't belong to this world. They don't feel apart. They don't belong. And it's all about the heart. When you get saved, you don't belong to this world anymore. There is something different. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it gives us this great statement. about salvation and has a really nice little phrase after it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Well, you know what? There's a new birth that takes place when you get saved. And when you get that new birth, you know you're different. And you know that before you didn't have that new birth. And you know that before you were saved, everybody was like you. And now that you're saved, you know you're different from everybody. You're different. You don't belong. You don't fit. You don't fit in anymore. It says, "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And all things, verse 18, are of God. All things are of God. Boy, you know, in the world, the best the world can do maybe, well, you know, some people do better than others, but you know, in the world, their view of God is a little dab of do ya, right? Isn't that the view of the world? Little dab of do ya, you know? Make sure, I mean, if you go to church, you know, make sure it's only once a week. Make sure it's only an hour. You know, you don't want to waste your time doing much more than that. You know what I'm saying? I remember the church I grew up in. Boy, you couldn't wait to grow up, so you get out of Sunday school. And then the only thing you had to do was go to church, you know, once a week. And you really didn't have to go every week. You could go once a month, and you'd still be a good member of the church. Or maybe even every 2 months, you know. You don't want to do too much of Jesus Christ. You don't want too much of God. But the Bible tells us that, you know, when you get saved, you're in a new family. You're in a new family. You think differently. And the Bible says all things are of God. Everything is related to your relationship with God. And so a pilgrim doesn't belong to the country in which it is passing through. It doesn't belong. And it doesn't fit. Doesn't belong to that country. Okay? And when you think of a pilgrim, you realize that a pilgrim just doesn't belong. He doesn't belong. And really, you know, it is really a matter of the heart. I mean, because if in your heart, all you care about is things of this world, well, then that probably means you belong to this world. But in your heart, you realize that you just don't really quite fit into this world. You know, you don't. Now, we have my high school class reunion, 50th is this year. And you know, I've never gone to reunion. I probably won't go to this one. Because the reunion night is at some big bar, nightclub. It's going to be all about dancing. It'll all be about drinking. And it's about a whole atmosphere that I don't fit in. I don't fit in that atmosphere. I'm not about interested in being around a bunch of immodest people and some flirting and all that kind of. I'm not that. That is not interesting to me at all. I mean, I'd love to meet my old friends. I'd love to be there, but I don't fit in. What world do you fit in? Now, notice what it says here. Let's turn to 1 Peter. The Bible tells us that Abraham, they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. They're looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And you know, they didn't find that city. Did you know that? They didn't find that city. You know, the second thing about a pilgrim is that they realize that their earthly journey is just temporary. They realize that their earthly journey is just temporary. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Temporary. You know, that's the big description that makes the difference between a pilgrim and just a person of the world. A person of the world, this is their life. This is their life. This is their life. But you know, a pilgrim, this life is just temporary. Just temporary. You know, it is amazing as you talk to people about their souls. I like going to university talking to students because you can really carry on a conversation. You know, most adult people, they don't want to carry on a conversation. They got this smoke screen up. They got this 9-foot wall taller than the Mexican wall, you know. And try to talk to them, it's almost impossible. But you know, you go up to a university student, you start talking to them, and it's great. And so many times I say to a student, do you ever think about eternity? And what do you think they say? Some say they do. But many say they don't. You know, last person I talked to at the university about that subject, she had was apparently a part of some Ironman competition, and so she had this Ironman shirt on, and it wasn't immodest, but it was Ironman shirt, showed that he'd been in the competition. So I struck up a conversation, and you know, I asked her if you thought about eternity. She says, never. I never think about eternity. And as I began talking to her, I thought, I guess I got to figure out why she doesn't ever think about eternity. You know, she's got everything going for her. You know, she's a college student, probably doing well in her school. She's got her life put together. She is good looking. You know, that's all that counts. Why would you think about eternity? The world is focused on the temporary. The world is focused on the temporary. The world has temporary values. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In 1 Peter, he made it very clear. It says, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You know, our world is all about temporary values, isn't it? Right? You know, temporary flesh, temporary lust, temporary life that's surrounded around the lusts of the world. It's temporary. And it's very, very sad. But that's what this world is wrapped up in, the temporary. You know, so often I think such and such a person, they're making a really foolish decision. And their whole life is going to be amount to nothing. You know why? Because their life is about the temporary. Life is about the temporary. And we could say many things about that, but I remember early in my Christian life, I heard the story. My wife's brother-in-law told the story. He says, my grandma Beatty married an unsaved man. She's a young lady, married an unsaved man. And this unsaved man kind of ruled the house. And Grandma Beatty told my wife's brother-in-law, at 74, her husband died, and she said, I'm 74, and my whole life I have done nothing for God. My whole life I've done nothing for God. Said, I accepted Christ when I was 18. I married your grandpa. He was unsaved. I spent my whole life and I did nothing for God. And my life is almost over. You know, this world is about living for the temporary, isn't it? But you know, the Bible is making clear a pilgrim isn't attracted to the temporary. The world, pilgrim passing through this world and says, hey, that's just temporary, that's just temporary, that's just temporary. I think another principle of the pilgrim. This is really isn't in the order, but the pilgrim is focused on the destination. A pilgrim is focused on the destination. Now the Bible tells us Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. That was his focus. Because he's looking for this city, and that was his focus, he didn't see it. He didn't see anything like it on this earth, did he? He wasn't, swept aside by those temporary things. You know, just recently went to Kansas, bought this pickup truck, and man, it's a long ways. 9.5 hours if you're pressing it. Man. And if you took it easy, probably be about 11 or 12 hours. You know? But when you're on a road trip, unless you got lots of time, what are you thinking about? Destination, aren't you? You're thinking about the destination. And you'll go and you'll see that and some site there and boy, that looks interesting. But it isn't that appealing because, you're thinking about the destination. You think about where you want to go, where you want to get. And so all the things that you could be sidetracked on, I'm not interested. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to get somewhere. I'm looking forward to the final destination. You know why? Because, why wasn't he interested in all the things that people get sidetracked on? Because where he was going was better. Where he was going was better. Far better. Now I guess now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And that's really kind of the focus of the Apostle Paul. His whole analysis of the Christian life. We have a couple different things here, but the end of the chapter, if you turn to the end of the chapter in verse 20, and it gives the reason for what he is doing. It says, verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He says, our conversation is in heaven. Now notice verse 14. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he's has his eye on the destination. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. His eyes are on the destination. And, you know, the destination has a number of different points. Number one, the destination has to do with how do we want to meet the Savior. The destination has to do with what is more valuable, what is the focus of our life. He's focused on the final destination. You know, wouldn't it be good if every day we thought a little bit about heaven? Wouldn't it be good if every day we thought a little bit about what we want to be like when we meet Jesus? Wouldn't it be good to every day think about the fact that there's things in our life that we would want to be changed before we see Jesus? Wouldn't it be good that every day we'd think about the sins that are in our life that we wouldn't want to be there when we see Jesus? And so the focus on the destination is a very important principle of a pilgrim. Now, lastly, I'd like to say that a pilgrim is completely different than other people because the guides of their life. What is guiding them in life? Well, first, as we think of Abraham, what guided him? The promise of God. God told him he was going to be a part of a great city. God told him that through him, the Messiah would be born. God told him that through him, there would be a great multitude. Through him, he would get the land. Now, he didn't get it, but it was promised. The guides of our life, the promises of God. Now, I want us to think of a moment here about that great principle as we go to Psalm number 1. I just want us to think about that for a minute. Psalm number 1. And this is talking about the two different contrasts of the guide of life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice the contrast. The guide of life for the lost. One, the counsel of the world. The counsel, the advice of this world. the sinful habits, actions of this world, the mocking of the lost. It's amazing. You know, ever been realized that most of TV is about mocking that which is of God? Mocking. Hollywood mocking God. The world mocking God. But the believer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What a great contrast. So as we think about the pilgrim, I think of four things. First of all, the pilgrim is detached. He's detached from this world. He is detached. He doesn't belong to this world. He doesn't feel a part of this world. Let me ask a question. Has there come that point in your life that you accepted Christ and you recognize now that you don't belong to this world? You don't belong to this world. Now, the second thing about a pilgrim is that, pretty obvious, but you know what? A pilgrim is different. Pilgrim is different. You know, you think of the pilgrims who came to America, you know, they were different, all right, weren't they? They were different. Everybody knew they were different. You know, pilgrims are different. You know, they have a whole different lifestyle. They have a whole different way of looking at life. They're different pilgrims. Now, you know, in the Bible, God told Israel, I want you to remember that you're a pilgrim. And you know, one of the things he told them that to remind them that they were a pilgrim is that they're all to have a ribbon of blue on their garment. They would have a ribbon of blue. They belong to God's kingdom, to the heavenly kingdom. That, of course, reminds us of the fact that a pilgrim is destined to a different place. Destined to a different place. And they're devoted to an eternal God. Now, you know, as I was thinking about the life of a pilgrim, I thought about what is one of the first evidences, or what is that place or that thing that really brings out the pilgrim in a person? You know what I was thinking about? Isn't that the place of church? Isn't church a place for pilgrims? Isn't that the place that characterizes a pilgrim? You know, a church is all about the people who belong to God, isn't it? That's what church is about. Church is about the people who belong to God. You know, before I got saved, you went to church because you're supposed to. And then as right after I got saved, it was trying to figure out what was the right church. And I didn't know anything, but I did know that I was saved. And I would go to a church and you'd do a little bit of talking and you say, they don't know what I'm talking about. They don't know about salvation. You know, I know I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And you know, pretty soon you got to realize you find a church. And a church is all about being around the people that belong to God. That's what church is about. It's about being around the people that belong to God. You belong to God. They belong to God. Hey, this works. Church is about the people who belong to God. You know, church isn't a lot of things that people make it. But I tell you what, church is about the people who belong to God. I've told the story, all my stories are old, but I told the story, you know, just a couple months before I was saved, I drove by this church in Waukesha, and I was mocking those people going to church on Sunday morning. It was the Sunday morning after prom. And I was mocking all those people going to church. Well, about 4 months later, 5 months later, I got saved. And on that Thanksgiving morning, I did something that we never, ever did one time ever in all my growing up. Well, I went to a Thanksgiving service. And guess where I went? I went to that church that I made fun of. Because you know what? I wanted to be around the people of God. You know, that's what church is about. Amen? Being around the people of God. You know, that world out there, if you're in the working world, that world is not a friend of grace, is it? That's not a place where the world is encouraging you to live for God and to do what's right. You don't belong there. But you know what? When you get saved, church is all about belonging to the Lord. You know what church is about? Church is about a complete different value system than the world. You know, the world, they want to know what the news media says. They want to know what the psychologist says. They want to know what Hollywood says, right? They want to know what the stars say. You know what? I'm not interested in that, are you? You know, the value system of the church is a value system, and that it's the Word of God. I want to find out what God says. That's what church is about, a value system, different than the world. You know, what is church about? Church is about a place of refuge. It's an escape from the world. It's an escape. Praise the Lord, no TV here. Amen. You know? It's escape from the world. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to put your blinders on, men, when you go to church. Amen? You know, it's escape from the world. You know what? You don't have to be careful who you talk to because there's no bad jokes going to come out. You know? It's a place of refuge. That's it's the New Testament church. The New Testament church is a place of worship. It's a place of worship. Adoring the person who is the most important person in all the world, our Savior, our God. It's a place of worship. Wow. How much different than this world. You know, I suppose today that half the world is all gung-ho about some kind of person trying to spend his life putting a ball in a hole. You know, making some great accomplishment in life, putting a ball in a hole. And boy, that's the greatest thing that ever could happen. You know what? That's not what church is about. It's about worshiping somebody that's really worth worshiping. You see, a church is a place for pilgrims. Amen. They don't belong to this world. They don't fit into this world. They don't have the same guide as this world. There's not the same end result. A church is the place for pilgrims. It's for the people who are just passing through. We don't sing that song much around here, but we used to sing that chorus, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." I wonder, are you a pilgrim? Do you live like a pilgrim? Have you become a pilgrim? You know, it all starts there. The day that you come as a lost sinner to Jesus Christ, and as a lost sinner destined to hell, you come to the Savior. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and you're born again. Wow. Immediately, you get a new birth. Immediately, you know that you're not the same person you used to be. Immediately, you know that you're different. Immediately, you know that you don't belong to this world. You're on a different course. You're on a different path. You know, sad to say, many people have religion today. But you know, they don't feel really at home in church. They feel more at home at the sports stadium. They feel more at home in places of the world. You know, never forget, Jimmy Carter was our president. And he claimed to be a Christian, claimed to be a Baptist. And it was kind of hard to figure out really what he believed, you know. And so there were some Baptist preachers that came to Washington, D.C., preachers that I would know, many of them, and he met with them, and then the next week, now you gotta remember this is in the 80s, right? Early 80s. There was, a homosexual group that was at Washington, D.C. And he said to them, "I feel more at home with you than with those Baptist preachers I met with last week." I said, "I guess he doesn't fit in with us. We must not be of the same descent." Who do you feel comfortable with? Do you feel comfortable with the wrong kind of people? Do you feel comfortable with worldly people? Do you feel comfortable with the people who want to get as close to sin as they can without getting into trouble? Do you feel comfortable with that crowd? Well, you know what? You have to ask yourself, are you a pilgrim or not? Are you a pilgrim? Are you really belong to God's family? Or do you belong to this world's family? You know, the new birth is real. Amen? New birth is real. It's not a fake. It's not something that somebody else has and just write it on a piece of paper. It's a real thing. And when you get born again, you become a pilgrim. And the things that we talked about today are true of a pilgrim. They are detached. They're different. They're destined for a different place. And they're devoted to eternal God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, today, that we can remember that we don't belong to this world. Lord, our conversation is in heaven. Help us, Lord, not to get too stuck on this world. Help us, Lord, not to plant our feet too firmly on this ground. Help us, Lord, to be cautious about wanting the approval of this world. Help us, Lord, to live like Abraham. Live looking for that city of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help that dear, precious soul today that might have religion but hasn't salvation. I pray for that precious soul that even today might be questioning their soul's status before you. That, Lord, today that you would help them make it clear. They would help it get settled. That they would determine of which tribe they are. That, Lord, that today they would make it clear. They would make it firm. They would make it without a question, Lord, that they want Jesus Christ to be their Savior, their Lord. They want to live for Him. They want Him to save them and give them a new heart. And Lord, help us even today as we live in a decaying culture, Lord, to realize that we're pilgrims. We're never going to fit into this world. And as this world gets worse and worse and worse, we will be more and more out of place in a wicked world. Help us, Lord, to find our refuge in the Lord Jesus. Help us to find our refuge, Lord, in the local church. Help this place, Lord, to be a place of worship, a place of holiness, a place of rejoicing, a place in which, Lord, we're excited about the Lord Jesus and serving Him. I pray, Lord, you'd work in our hearts while our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Even today, the Lord is speaking to your heart. And as a Christian, you say, you know what, I think I've been getting a little bit too attached to the world. And God has spoken to my heart today that I need to refocus my life on the eternal and the things of God. And you've heard the Lord today, and there's an area of your life that you need to settle with the Lord today and get back on the right track and say, Pastor, pray with me. God spoke in my heart. Anyone here? Okay. God bless you. Anyone else? Okay. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? Today needs to be the day that I get the most important thing settled, the salvation of my soul. And God is speaking to your heart today. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get settled the most important thing in life, the salvation of my soul. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Amen. Amen. Okay, praise God. Okay, amen. All right. Anyone else? God's speaking to your heart. Lord, now we thank you for speaking to hearts today. And thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you loved us enough to care for us. Now, Lord, thank you for Christians and for the work that you're doing in their lives and the prodding that you did in their souls today. And then, Lord, we pray for these that need to get their souls' eternity settled. Oh, Lord, I pray it is only you that can convict them of sin and show them the beauty of the Lord Jesus and show them the reality that there's an eternal judgment for sin. But the Savior, Lord, is the real Savior and can give them eternal life. Help them, Lord, to turn from running their own life as lost sheep and turning their life over to the Shepherd who could only lead them in the right path. Give them faith, Lord, to settle that, to trust you even today. Even there, right there in that pew, Lord, they could settle that those things with you through the Lord Jesus. May it be so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.